ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भगवद गीता चैप्टर 8 एंटाइटल्ड अटेनिंग द सुप्रीम। श्लोक नंबर 23-27। यत्र काले त्वनावृत आवृत्तिं चैव योगिना प्रयाता यान्ति तं कालं वक्षयामि भरतर्षभ। ट्रांसलेशन। ओ बेस्ट ऑफ द भारतस, आई शैल नाउ एक्सप्लेन टू यू द डिफरेंट टाइम्स एट विच पैसिंग अवे फ्रॉम दिस वर्ल्ड द योगी डज और डज नॉट कम बैक। परपोट। The unalloyed devotees of the Supreme Lord, who are totally surrendered souls, do not care when they leave their bodies or by what method. They leave everything in Krishna's hands and so easily and happily return to Godhead. But those who are not unalloyed devotees and who depend instead on such methods of spiritual realizations as Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga and Hatha Yoga must leave the body at its suitable time and thereby be assured whether or not they will return to the world of birth and death. If the yogi is perfect, he can select the time and situation for leaving this material world. But if he is not so expert, his success depends on his accidentally passing away at a certain suitable time. The suitable times at which one passes away and does not come back are explained by the Lord in the next verse. According to Acharya Baladev Vidyabhushan, the Sanskrit word kala used herein refers to the presiding deity of the time. Om Agyanti Mirandrasya Gyananjana Shilakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha. So, in these verses, from 23 to 27, Krishna is explaining the process of attaining him, because as the title of this chapter is Attaining the Supreme, and in previous verses Krishna has explained the nature of spiritual world and the material world. So how to attain the spiritual world, which is beyond material world, is explained herein by Krishna. But the interesting thing I found it here, because Krishna here is saying, Krishna is explaining the way by which we can attain him, or a yogic process. That if you remember, if you leave your body in one particular time, when sun is in such and such state, then you can attain me. Otherwise, you cannot attain me. So, it's a tough process Krishna is mentioning here. But Prabhupada is beginning his purport by completely giving no value to the process which is recommended by Krishna here. Prabhupada is saying, the unalloyed devotees of the Supreme Lord, who are totally surrendered souls, do not care when they leave their bodies or by what method. They leave everything in Krishna's hands and so easily and happily return to Godhead. So, because death is inevitable, as the saying goes, as sure as death. If anyone has taken birth, he is going to die. And in this material world also, we know one of the most important fears is the fear of old age, disease and death. Therefore, nowadays we can see, yesterday I went to the hospital, one of the biggest hospital in Bombay, Leelavati Hospital. And I saw practically 20-30% people, they were having different kinds of masks on their nose, on the face, just to avoid the swine flu. So everyone is fearful. Even I saw 1.5-year-old boy also. He was also having this. The mother has put. Of course, it's necessary for the security purpose. But ultimately, we have to understand that one day we have to die. There is no way we can escape death. There is a story comes in Puran, I don't know which Puran. Long back I read. So we know in Mahabharat, Bhishma's father was Pandu. What was Bhishma's father's name? Shantanu. His second wife, Satyavati, before she married to Shantanu, she gave birth to Vyasadev. It's a long story, different story. So, Satyavati's father, he wanted to become immortal. He was thinking, he was very afraid of death. So he thought that my grandson Vyasadeva is incarnation of Supreme Personality of Godhead. If I go and plead to him, request him, he may grant me immortality. He may make me immortal. So he went to him and said, please make me immortal. I don't want to die. So Vyasadeva, he knew that it's not possible. Anyone who has taken birth, he has to die. So he didn't want to say himself that, okay, no, it's not possible, you have to die. So he said, okay, let's see. So he said, okay, we'll go to Brahmaji, and Brahmaji can give you immortality. So he and Vyasadev, both of them, they went to Brahmaji. And Brahmaji said, well, I am the creator. Destroyer is Lord Shiva. So we have to go to Lord Shiva. He only can grant you immortality. So then Brahmaji, Vyasadev, and that old man, they all went to Lord Shiva's abode Kailash. And same request, immortality. Lord Shiva said, yeah, of course I destroy. That is my job, destruction. But ultimately I do it under the instruction of Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu. So Lord Vishnu only can award you mukti or immortality. So all of four, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Vyasadev, and this man, they went to Lord Vishnu's abode, Shir Sagar. And Lord Vishnu invited them, and then he said, please make me immortal. Lord Vishnu says, okay, I can make you immortal, but let's go and see your accounts. We'll go to Yamraj's place, and then we'll find out how much lifespan is left and whether you deserve it or not. So let's go there. So then now Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, and Vyasadev, and this man, they went to Yamraj. And Yamraj said, okay, we can consider this case, special request. So, but let's go to Chitragupta and see the accounts. So while all of these six people, great personalities, you know, they were walking towards Chitragupta, so they were climbing down the stairs. And while climbing down, this old man, his foot slipped and he fell down and died. So everyone was shocked. That, like, how in Yampuri this person is dying in such unusual circumstances. So when they were wondering, you know, what is happening here, suddenly Chitragupta came running and he was holding one book in his hand, you know. And he was a little perplexed. So Yamraj asked, what happened? Why are you so confused? And when he saw that this person is dead lying there, so he said, Maharaj, since morning I was wondering, you know, since morning when I saw this account of this person, and in his account it was written that this person will die in Yampuri while having Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Lord Vyasadeva, and Lord Vishnu in front of him. So I was wondering how this is going to happen. And now by Krishna's arrangement, by the will of providence, this has happened. So the point is, we cannot avoid death in any circumstances. That is sure. Jata se dhruva mrityu. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if anyone has taken birth, he is going to die. And anyone who dies, he is going to take birth again. So therefore, anything in this material world, if we consider, just look around yourself and find if anything is there which is eternal, which is here, like, since time immemorial. Even the sun, which is considered in the oldest in this material world, is going to die one day. Even the scientists accept this. So everything is going to die here. Therefore, this world is known as Martya Loka. And therefore, Krishna chastised Arjuna in the beginning, Ashochan Anvashochastam, that anyway, everything is going to die, today or tomorrow, or day after tomorrow. So what is the point of lamenting? And only those people lament, those who are fool. Only fool laments. Because if you know, suppose, I have this garland in my hand. And I know that tomorrow or day after tomorrow it is going to, you know, wither away and destroyed. So there is no point of lamenting on it. So therefore, this is the important point which you have to understand, that anything which is going to destroy has no substance. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Nasto vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sata. That anything which is going to destroy, which is having temporary existence, has no substance. We should not take it seriously. Not only in terms of our body, but in terms of our relationships, in terms of things we possess, in terms of our dealings, whatever. If we see that this thing or this relationship, anything has a temporary nature, then we should try to be not bothered by that thing. Because anyway, it's going to destroy. Why to compromise eternal thing with a permanent, with temporary thing? So that is the whole point that ultimately we have to die. But how to die, that is important. And that Krishna is explaining in these verses. How to die. Because everyone has to die. Because that is going to decide our future. If we die in proper consciousness, then our destination is different. If we die in improper circumstances or state of mind, our destination will be different. But Vedic scriptures and Krishna, they want us to attain the Supreme. They want us that we leave this place and go back to Godhead. Therefore, scripture says, Tamsoma Jyotir Gamaya, Mrityoma Amrita Gamaya. That from this place of ignorance or darkness, go to the light. From this place of mortality, go to the immortality. That is the whole purpose. But how to reach there, that is most important part. How to reach there. Very simple to say, you know, okay, attain mukti, salvation, or go back to Godhead. But how to achieve is very, very difficult. And it's not so easy. Why it's not so easy? Because kingdom of God has some rules. It is not that anyone can just barge into and say, okay, here I am. I want to enter. Please allow me. No. We have to have some qualifications. Because we have come into this material world by our own desire. We made this choice. So now we cannot say, you know, okay, now I want to come. Just like, you know, if someone breaks the principles of the country, of the government, rules, you know, suppose someone murders someone. So immediately he'll be caught and put behind the bars. Then he cannot say, okay, now from today onwards, I'll not do anything wrong. I'll not commit any crime. So please leave me. I want to enjoy life out. No. We have to, that person has to stay there in the prison for a particular period of time. And then when the prison authorities, they will see, now this person is, you know, is rectified. Now he's not going to commit that mistake again. Then only they will leave us. So similarly, in this material world is kind of like a prison. Or like now swine flu is, you know, enraging. So we can understand. As soon as, suppose, you know, in a family, even if one person gets flu, so immediately the entire family will isolate that person. Isn't it? Because otherwise everyone will be infected with that virus. So similarly, when we were in spiritual world, we developed this kind of, you know, virus. What was that virus? Icha dvesha samuthena dvandva mohena bharata. That we wanted to enjoy separate from Krishna. That is a kind of virus and has no place in spiritual world. So immediately the facility was created, a kind of, you know, isolation ward was created, this material world. Okay, you go there. So we have to understand this material world is kind of isolation ward so that we don't disturb the activities of spiritual world. So, but when we take proper treatment here, proper diet here, follow proper rules and regulations, and when the doctor sees, okay, now this person is, you know, he has overcome the disease and no more symptoms are there, and now he's not going to infect anyone else, no harm. So then they will allow us, okay, now you can go back to normal life. That was abnormal life. So similarly, the life in this material world is abnormal life, infected life. But when we perform sadhana, when we follow rules and regulations nicely, and when the authorities, superior authority sees, oh, now this person is completely purified, contaminated, and all contamination is gone. So then they allow us, okay, now we can go back home, back to Godhead and enjoy there. So, but we have to come to that standard of purification. We cannot say, okay, these are my standards of purification. So now I'm purified according to those standards. No, we have to come to the standards of which are set by Krishna. Like we have ISO standards, isn't it? So, like we are trying to do that in our kitchen. So ISO standard we have to follow. Similarly, Krishna has some ISO standards. And that ISO standards are given in Bhagavad Gita. That we should develop humility, we should develop tolerance, we should develop forgiveness, fearlessness, dependence on Krishna. Sarva dharman paritajyama ekam sharanam raja. So when we follow all these principles nicely, and when Krishna sees, oh, now this person is following all the principles nicely, then he gives the certificate. And now you go back home, back to Godhead. Till the time, we cannot go. So here Krishna is mentioning, in one sense, it appears that he is recommending, you know, or this is also process. This is also another process if you want to try. But we know it's so difficult, you know, to follow this process. Krishna also knows that this process is very, very difficult. But he's just giving choice. So that ultimately we can come to the conclusion that Krishna is too difficult. I cannot follow. And then Krishna will say, I knew that it is difficult. And devotional service is the only way. Therefore, immediately after these verses, we'll find in the last verse of this chapter, Krishna says, 28th verse, Krishna says, a person who accepts the path of devotional service is not bereft of the results derived from studying the Vedas, performing austere sacrifices, giving charity or pursuing philosophical and fruitive activities. Simply by performing devotional service, he attains all these, and at the end he reaches the supreme eternal abode. So ultimately Krishna wants to speak about devotional service only. But because he knew that our mind is so restless, we'll think, oh, Krishna is speaking only about devotional service, he must be having some ulterior motives, so let me try other things also. So Krishna is just giving us information so that we can understand that it is not possible for us. We can, simply by reading, we can see how difficult they are. So we'll read the next shloka. Agnir jyotir iha shuklaha shan masa uttarayanam tatra prayata gacchanti brahma brahma vidojana. Those who know the supreme Brahman attain that supreme by passing away from the world during the influence of the fiery god in the light at an auspicious moment of the day, during the fortnight of the waxing moon, or during the 6 months when the sun travels in the north. Even to understand is so difficult, you know. Practicing and following and actually living body in this state is so difficult. We don't have any control over our bodies, isn't it? We cannot even control our thirst and hunger. What to speak of controlling all the elements of our body, all the airs of our body, and live body according to our desire. Bhishma Devi, he had that boon from his father, Ichha Mrityu, that whenever you want to die, you can leave your body. So he had that facility and that power also. We don't have. And there are other examples also there in scriptures, like Sati, the wife of Lord Shiva, when she visited the sacrifice of her father, Daksha, and he mistreated her and her husband, Lord Shiva, she immediately increased the fire element in her body and, you know, just gave up her body. If our finger burns little bit, you know, it gives so much of pain. What to speak of, you know, deliberately, intentionally giving up your body. So difficult. So by reading these verses, we can understand it is practically impossible for us to practice these principles. So, and Krishna here is trying to say that devotional service is the only way. And therefore, ninth chapter also which is considered as the cream of Bhagavad Gita, is entitled as the most confidential knowledge, in which Krishna speaks direct devotional service. So Krishna is trying to say that follow bhakti, which is very, very easy. We can see on our own, can we practice tapasya like people used to do in Satyuga, meditating for thousands and thousands of years? First of all, our lifespan is so short, we cannot practice. Our mind is so restless. We don't have control over anything. We cannot perform yajnas. We cannot perform, you know, deity worship, elaborate deity worship. But in Kali Yuga, such a simple process is given of chanting the names of Krishna, for which there is no restriction. Anywhere we can chant, in any state we can chant, whether a person is a child or a woman or a young man or an old man. In fact, Srila Prabhupada used to say that even a dog can take part in chanting, and even a child can take part. Sometimes we see, you know, small children come in temple, and they don't know what is, you know, holy name or what is the benefit of the holy name. But when they see, oh, everyone is dancing, they also raise their hand and try to utter few words, and they get the Sukriti. But a child cannot perform Karmakanda, a child cannot perform Gyanakanda, he cannot perform tapasya or give charity. So we can see devotional service is so easy. And it is given so freely in this Kali Yuga by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anarpita charim chirat karunava tirna kalo. We cannot understand how fortunate we are. Sometimes we think, you know, okay, from so many years I was going to different temples, Monday here, Tuesday here, Wednesday here. So by chance I came to Hare Krishna temple also, ISKCON temple also. No. If we are fortunate, we'll realize what fortune we have received. It takes, you know, great pious credits even to understand what fortune we have received. Otherwise, we lose it. I remember many years before, when I was a child, our principal told a story which reveals, you know, that in ignorance we can lose this precious gift of Krishna consciousness. Once upon a time, there was a man. He was living in jungles, like he was and cutting trees, burning them, making coal out of it, and selling that coal. So one day, the king came to that forest, and somehow or other he lost his way. And he found this person having his small kutir. He went to him and said, please give me something to eat and a place to rest. So that person treated very nicely this king. And when king came back to his kingdom, he thought, I should give something to this person. You know, he helped me in difficult times. So what should I give? And then he thought, okay, I have this sandalwood forest. So let me give him sandalwood forest, because he's a woodcutter. So he'll be, you know, he'll become millionaire overnight. So he gave him sandalwood forest. And then many years went by. So one day king thought, you know, let me just go and see my friend, you know, how he's doing. He must be having now big bungalow and having, you know, so many facilities. So but when he went to that sandalwood forest, he saw that entire forest was chopped off. Hardly one or two trees were left. And this person was still there, you know, in rags, nothing to eat, no shelter practically. So king was, you know, he became confused, you know, what is happening? Even one tree is sufficient to make a person, you know, wealthy, and I gave entire forest, but still he's there. So king asked him, what did you do with that sandalwood? He said, sandalwood? I didn't know anything sandalwood. I just cut them, burned them, turned them into coal and sold that. So king thought, my God, what this person is, you know. So he just gave him little piece of sandalwood. He said, okay, go and sell it in the market. And when he went to the market and he showed it to different people, they said, oh, it's pure sandalwood, and gave high price to that person. And he was shocked. But in his ignorance, he actually lost the greatest wealth. So similarly, we have to understand, in Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us such immense wealth, which we cannot even understand what it is. You know, just like a child, if you give him 1,000 rupees note, for him, you know, 1,000 rupees note or a piece of newspaper doesn't make any difference because of lack of knowledge, lack of ignorance. So similarly, what we are receiving in Krishna consciousness, we cannot fathom. And in that ignorance, we may lose it. That may happen. So here Krishna is explaining about devotional service. That devotional service is so important. And why devotional service is so simple and anyone can practice? Because in simple terms, if you say, devotional service is like becoming a family member of Krishna. There are different processes to achieve Krishna, like Karma Yoga, Dhyan Yoga, Gyan Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. But Bhakti Yoga is very, very special. Because Bhakti Yoga means developing a family relationship with Krishna. Either you become Krishna's mother, or you become Krishna's father, or Krishna's friend, or Krishna's servant. And other processes, they are like business dealings. Okay, Krishna, I'm doing this for you. You should do this much for me. It's kind of business dealing. We remain client for Krishna, you know. Krishna treats us as we are his clients in business dealings. So Krishna expects, okay, you are demanding so much, so you have to give so much to me. A contract is signed for, you know, 14 months you do this puja and you'll get this. For 6 months you do this anushtan and you'll get that. So contract is signed. And if that contract is not fulfilled, we don't get the benefit. But Bhakti Yoga is like we are family members of Krishna. Just like in our family, suppose our younger brother or elder brother, if a family member commits some mistake here and there, small mistake here and there, we don't take it so seriously, isn't it? But if a person who is trying to, you know, we cannot say exploit, but want to take benefit out of us, we'll deal with him very, very carefully. So, Bhakti Yoga is like developing personal relationship with Krishna. And Krishna is also very, very eager to give that relationship. It is not that, it may appear that Krishna is so far away and we are here down. But Srimad Bhagavatam, in one of the purports of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada writes that this entire material creation is resting upon the lotus feet of Krishna. So it may appear that we are far away from Krishna, but if we see from that perspective that this entire material creation is resting on Krishna's lotus feet, so we are also resting on Krishna's lotus feet. And Krishna is not far away. Krishna is right there in our heart. We have to simply desire. As soon as we desire, Krishna fulfills. So we have to simply desire. And Krishna is ready to fulfill all our desires. In Bible, it is said that if a person is very, very cruel, you know, say, you know, smuggler or a gang leader or whatever, very, very cruel, but he'll be very, very nice and loving to his son. Isn't it? He may, you know, commit murder or, you know, robbery outside, do criminal activities. But when he goes to home, he takes some chocolate for his son, some toys or some, you know, gifts for his son. So Jesus says, if a cruel person has that sense that I should treat my sons very, very nicely, so then how much affectionately and lovingly God has a desire to deal with us, to treat us, to give so many gifts to us, who is so nice. If a contaminated person, you know, third class, low class person has that sense that, oh, this is my man, this is my child, I should give this to him. Then Krishna, who is so refined, who is so pure, and who is so selfless, how much he must be having, you know, feelings of love and affection towards us. So this is the whole point here. And in next verse, we'll just read the translations of 2-3 verses. Text 25. The mystic who passes away from this world during the smoke, the night, the fortnight of the waning moon, or the 6 months when the sun passes to the south, reaches the moon planet, but again comes back. According to Vedic opinion, there are two ways of passing from this world, one in light and one in darkness. When one passes in light, he does not come back. But when one passes in darkness, he returns. In light and darkness means knowledge, because knowledge is considered as light. Because in light we can see. As soon as, you know, you just put off all the lights, we won't be able to see anything. So similarly, a person who doesn't have knowledge, he cannot see anything. He may see so many things, but actually doesn't see. Pashyan api na pashyati. Because he is simply seeing the matter. He is not seeing the spirit behind the matter. So light is like knowledge and darkness is like absence of that knowledge. When one passes in light, he does not come back, but when passes in darkness, he returns. So when we leave this world in knowledge, and what is that knowledge? That I am Krishna's eternal servant. I am God's servant. And my duty is to serve. If we have that knowledge sufficient, actually the entire scriptures, all the scriptures, entire Vedic literature is to make us understand this simple point. Take any scripture, any bona fide scripture of the world, any text. The purpose is to make us understand that we are God's eternal servant. And our job, our service is to serve Him unconditionally. That is the entire purpose. And if we leave our body in that consciousness, then we'll attain the Supreme. As in previous verses, Krishna says that whatever consciousness we have during leaving our body, leaving this world, we attain that immediately. So when we deal with Krishna in loving relationship, then we don't have to worry anything. We should be confident that Krishna will take care of everything. In Christianity, there is a beautiful story comes which gives so much of hope that how we'll be taken care of by Krishna ultimately. The only thing we have to do, we have to just perform our services nicely. Our part we have to perform nicely, and then Krishna will take care of. So I'll conclude this with this story. That once there was a man who used to drink a lot. Practically every time, 24 hours a day, he would drink. But regularly he used to go to church. But he would never enter the church. From the outside only, from the door, like he would see the deity of Jesus and he would just wave his hand like this. His name was Robert. So he would just wave his hand. He said, "Jesus, here I am, Robert." And then just go away. So days, months and year passed like this. Every day, without fail, he would come and just wave his hand and say, "Hey Jesus, here I am, Robert." So many days, many years passed like this. So one day, he was very, very sick and practically on the verge of death. He was about to leave his body. And he could not go because he was not able to even get up. So when he was just about to leave his body, he heard a knock on his door, you know, someone was knocking, you know. And he just lifted his head and just to see who is there. And he heard a voice, "Hey Robert, here I am, Jesus." So the point is, in Krishna consciousness, in devotional service, because we are dealing directly with Krishna, so Krishna takes care. So we don't have to worry. Prabhupada used to tell this story of cat and the monkey. That when monkey carries, the mother monkey carries her child. So she doesn't carry actually. She doesn't carry. The child holds to the mother. She has to make an endeavor so that the mother can carry him. But in the case of cat and the kitten, cat simply, you know, kitten is completely helpless. He's just lying there, you know. He doesn't make any endeavor practically. He's simply lying there. Mother comes, picks him up and just takes wherever she wants. So that is Krishna consciousness. Of course, that doesn't mean, you know, we don't do anything. No, we have to understand that our endeavors are useless. Ultimately, Krishna's mercy is the most important thing. With that understanding, we should put our 100% effort. It appears a little contradictory that we should put our 100% endeavors with the understanding that like my endeavors are completely useless. But our endeavors should be to attract Krishna's mercy. That Krishna, yes, I want you. And when Krishna sees, oh, this person is so sincere, then it doesn't matter, you know, where are you dying, you know, whether you're dying in Vrindavan or whether you're dying in the war field, whether you're dying in ICU ward, or like in whichever way or wherever you die, leave this body. Ultimately, it doesn't matter because Krishna can create, you know, proper environment anywhere. And Krishna is, it is not that Krishna is only staying in some particular places in Vrindavan or in Dham. Wherever there are devotees, Krishna is right there. So, although in these four or five verses, Krishna is explaining the yogic process to leave the body so that we can attain supreme perfection, we can see how it is very, very difficult for us to practice. Practically impossible. I don't think even a single person in current world can, you know, leave his body. Maybe someone, you know, very rare cases in some Himalayas or somewhere. But for general public, it is not possible. And ultimately, Krishna is also going to conclude the same thing. And he also wants to hear from us that, oh, Krishna, it's very, very difficult. I cannot practice this. And then Krishna will say, okay, that's what I wanted to hear from you. So now come and practice devotional service and perfect your life. Thank you very much. Anyone has any question or comments, please. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.